We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
They had a second comment, same person. He goes, okay, maybe I went a little extra with that last part. But
he was hitting the keyboard hard.
Something fired him up. He remembers a specific scenario.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. It has been a few days of some crappy weather, but how are you feeling? I'm feeling okay.
I'm feeling good. I had, it's been a rough couple of weeks with work and just a lot of stuff going on, and I've been in the office more than I usually am, which kind of throws off my whole routine. Work has been very, very busy. I also launched my group coaching program this past week, which has been taking up a lot of time behind the scenes.
I'm excited though. It seems pretty cool.
I'm really excited about it. It's just been like, it's a lot of work to, especially just the very first time, obviously you have to like create all the content from scratch. And so I was spending a lot of time with Simran, who's the person that I'm creating it with and co-launching it with. But that's one of the reasons why I haven't been pushing out as much content as usual, is because I have been very hard at work behind the scenes on that. So it's definitely like an exhale moment to finally have it like out there in the world.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm proud of you. It's not easy to put yourself out there in ways like that, you know?
I appreciate you. Yeah. You do that like every week.
Yeah. I mean, so it's funny. I was talking to you today about the Brené Brown on Netflix show about the man in the arena theory that she talks about. And I reached out to some personal guy friends for this episode for things that they wish women knew, and specifically hit up like men in relationships.
Yeah.
One of them also referenced the in the arena theory, but it was so interesting to hear his focus from that whole special was about like the masculinity part. And of course, like what I took away from it was like more being in the public eye and like putting out content and things like
that. And the idea of that whole theory she talks about is like, if you're not in the arena, like remind me exactly what she says.
So it's basically a lot of people that criticize are not people that are doing the same things that you're doing. So whatever you do in life, right? Like I'm not a dentist. So if I'm criticizing a dentist, it's like, do you really even know what this is like to be this, do this, have this job, whatever. And since watching that, it's been like even more obvious to me when I'm talking to people about like one, being freelance, or two, doing comedy. And people you talk to that have done similar things of putting themselves out there are always the most supportive because they know what it's like to be in the arena. And the people that are so quick to criticize are always people that have never done the same things or taken the same risks and like put themselves out there in that same way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that to me today when we were talking, because my like co-founder of the program mentioned the same thing, because I think it was originally a Teddy Roosevelt quote, like from a speech that he did, and then Brené Brown talked about it. But it's interesting. I'm excited to get into what your friend said as it relates to like what he wished women knew. But like there is just like a larger stepping into somebody's shoes aspect of it, of like if you've never been in those particular shoes, it's like tough to criticize, or like remembering that you've never been in those shoes.
Yeah. And I think as a society, like we look at certain careers or certain jobs or certain things and we assume it's very easy to do that as opposed to other careers where it's like people, I use dentists as an example, but like I think in general people are less likely to critique a doctor because their first thought is like, well, I could never do that or become a doctor, or maybe I wasn't good at science, whatever it is. But then something like I'm posting a joke online, everybody has something to say and thinks like, you're not really funny, I'm funny. And I'm like, then do it. Then get in the arena. Go be funny. And do it. Yeah.
Feel free to be funny. No one's stopping you.
Yeah, right. Go. Feel free to post your own funny videos, you know? Feel free. You'll see how hard it is if you actually tried to do it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I do have a little fun story for the listeners. I got a text from my mom the other night, or the other day, being like, oh, I took two of your sleep gummies last night, and I slept straight through the night better than I ever have in a long time. Slept like 9 hours straight. But to be honest, I got a little nervous because I was like, did you actually take the CBD sleep gummies, or did you go into my drawer and take maybe something else I have?
Oh, dear.
And so I was like, oh, the melatonin ones? They're purple, right? Like, I just kind of easily was like, the purple gummies, right? That's what you're talking about? Please say that.
Please say yes.
Yeah. And then she sent me a picture and she was like, yeah, I bought them. You always talk about them on the show. And you're right. They work so great. And I was relieved, first of all.
Amazing. And Sunset Lake has a new fan, it sounds like.
A new fan. Yeah. It's good for moms. Tell your moms, all right? If your mom's like mine, she wakes up at 2-3 in the morning every night. I don't know if it's out of, you know, anxiety worrying about me or whatever it is that moms do. But if your mom's like me, tell her about these melatonin gummies, you know, and make sure you're other gummies are well hidden where they can't find them.
No, I love that. And if our listeners haven't tried it out, they can go to sunsetlakecbd.com. We have a promo code, FMH20. It'll get you 20% off everything on their website, and you can use it as many times as you want. So go forth. Get your gummies.
Yes. Go forth. It's family friendly. sunsetlakecbd.com. All right.
So last week, you had told the listeners about a little encounter that you had.
Yes.
With the drummer.
Yes, I was very excited. I was approached in real life. How fun.
How fun.
And it reminded me of days in therapy where you say, I never get approached. And they always say never, because it's not true to say never, right?
Right.
So I was like, okay, can't say never anymore. It happened.
Here we are.
Yeah. So I ended up going to his show with my good friend Talia. I texted him ahead of time asking, like, how much do you play versus, like, hang out to make sure, you know, I wasn't bringing a friend and he'd be like, oh, I only do, like, two songs. And I thought
we were going to hang out. Yeah.
So I told him I was coming and asked the question and said, great, I'll bring a friend. You know, see you there.
Perfect.
So I get to the show. There was a cover that I did not know about. I don't know if he was getting paid specifically. I would like to think so, but it also was like a tribute night to somebody who had passed away in the music industry.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it was like, there's a cover, it's going towards a thing. I had the show flyer, but the show flyer had none of that information. So
that's weird too, that a show flyer wouldn't say you have to pay to be here.
Little weird, but I'm assuming the drummer was not also the graphic designer of the event, you know? Like,
How dare he?
Yeah, right. Like, he made the move. He gave me the flyer. Like, he's putting in some work. Okay, it's not like it was zero work. Do I wish I knew about the cover? Yeah, right. But I was fortunate I had cash on me because it was also cash only.
I'm more annoyed about it based on where the story's going.
Well, because you and the Patreon already knows. I get to the venue. He is currently on stage playing for like two songs, and then he comes off stage and walks by me. And I first was like, oh, I don't think he saw me.
Right.
So then he walked by me again. And I was like, I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
So then I saw him standing by the bar. And I was like, I'll just text him. Hey, are you by the bar? AKA, I already know you're by the bar, but whatever. Right. I text him. I don't get anything. And then he goes back on stage, plays another song or two. Comes off stage, then is like saying hello, giving daps to like two men that are only like 1 or 2 feet from me. So then I'm like, I'll just like stare at him and wait till he's done to then just be like, hey, you know, great playing, whatever, something. Cause I'm giving benefit of the doubt. I'm like, maybe he didn't see me.
Sure.
daps up the two people. I like take a step to say hi. Immediately he's walking around them to the back. I don't know what happened. So when that time happened, I look at Talia and our mouths are just on the floor. Like, I don't know what's happening. I feel like there's no way he did not see me. I'm not sure what to do.
It's so weird because like, if I were in your situation, I would have felt really awkward, like actively being like, hi, hello, because obviously he knows the people that are there. He's like in with the group. Now I'm like, if he wasn't actively looking for me to be there, I'm like, does he want me here? Like, does he remember that he invited me and I said I was coming? Like, it is so weird to me that you would invite someone to something and then not be like actively looking out for them.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm not shy at all about approaching people.
No.
And striking up convos with people I don't know. And then suddenly I was like timid and embarrassed and just confused. And all of a sudden I was in my head like, this person invited me, but now I feel like they do not want to speak to me. And I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah.
So I had to like consult Talia. I was like, thank God I brought a friend. So I consulted Talia and I was like, how much do we think he saw me versus not saw me? She's like, that time I swear he had to see you. So I don't know what's happening. And also, on the theory, let's say this theory, he invites women all the time to his shows. Overall, the number of women at the show was not nearly a high number, okay?
Right. And so it's not like there's all these other women that he invited that have showed up.
I'd say there's maybe 10 women and maybe 30 men. 8 of the women are like paired off with like whoever they're there with as a date. They're very cuddly. It's like a smooth jazz. Like people are vibing.
Yeah.
It does not seem like there are all these single women around. Okay. So
groupies.
Yeah. So I also was like, all right, the women in the room, there's not that many of us that seem to be somewhat available or whatever. Not here with a date. So I see him then standing by himself near a table, and it looks like he might be like rolling a blunt or something. So I'm like, all right, well, he's going to be there a couple minutes. It's not something that happens that quick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, my last effort, I'll go just to say hello. So I'm walking towards him and his back isn't to me. It's like a side view, but I'm like, I swear you could see a peripheral at least of me coming.
Yeah.
I get within like 2 feet again. All of a sudden he like darts away. To then go up and play. So I was like, okay. I turned to Talia and she just shrugged. She's like, I don't know what the hell's happening.
I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, we tried. Let's wrap it up. Let's like go to a bar or something and just catch up, hang out, us two.
Yeah.
So we leave and I was like, you know what? I'll just send one more text to basically be like, hey, I was there. So I sent him another text that just said, hey, you walked by me like 5 times, ... So I have my good fun night with Talia. So shout out to Blind Tiger. It's in the West Village. It's mostly beer, but they have a few cocktails and other drinks. So we're hanging there, and then we head home. Then I'm home, I'm chilling with my new little dog friend, and all of a sudden I get a call from the drummer. And I remember debating answering it, and I was like, I don't want to answer it. He leaves me a voicemail, and in the voicemail he says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you. I had my phone on do not disturb is the voicemail. He's like, please call me back when you get this. I forgot to include this, but in between the times he walked by me, I saw him filming with his phone by the stage.
Yeah, the story
is so I'm like, you had a phone in your hand. The do not disturb could add up if the texts don't pop up.
Yeah, mine don't even like, I don't even see the notification if I have my do not disturb on. But like, still, the fact remains that he invited you to this event and then you told him you were coming and he made like absolutely no effort to like look for you or anything.
Well, at my core, I was like, I'm trusting my instincts and I'm like, you saw me. There is no way
I think you did too. Yeah,
right.
I think you did
so, too. But then the bad thing is with this phone excuse, I get that excuse in the email. I mean, sorry, voicemail, Jesus Christ. Then he texts me like a little paragraph being like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I swear on my life, I like wouldn't invite someone somewhere and not say hello, like all these big things. Oh. But then the story of the phone changes. All of a sudden he says, I didn't have my phone on me.
Well, which one is it?
Which one is it? Okay. This is the thing about lying. If you're going to lie, you got to lie well and stick to whatever your story is.
Too many details. Too many details.
Too many. And also, this might be nitpicky, but there's something to over apologizing frantically. And I was getting paragraphs, numerous phone calls, numerous texts that I was like, this is way too much. It's way too much. And then the story changed again with the phone. I think the other one was, I wasn't checking my phone. It's like, first it was on do not disturb. Then it was, I didn't have it on me. Then it was, I'm not checking it. It's like, okay. The next day he called me a few more times. And I just then was like, okay, I need to just send a response to just end it. And I basically said like, hey, we don't got to discuss it. No hard feelings, like all good, but best of luck. And please stop calling me.
Please do not call me anymore.
Yeah. And then he asked me to clarify what the best of luck meant, if that meant to not contact me anymore, or he could make it up to me.
The thing right after best of luck was please stop calling. What?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just was like, And so I clarified a second time. I was like, yeah, like it's all good, but no need to talk anymore. Like, and thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And then he finally just stopped. So I was like, well, that's that, I guess. I don't know how to wrap that story, but
To me, it's like giving me, I mean, obviously we know you have nothing to be mortified about, but like I can really relate to that feeling. Like I know I would have felt the same way. And it's like, honestly brings me back to like high school.
Yeah. I was like, I wasn't sitting there being like, oh, I'm so special, but
no, of course, but
that's like the mortified feeling I was feeling was like the times I put myself in scenarios being like, no, I'll just happen to be there. The place I heard them talk to their friend about that they were going to, that I was not invited. I just overheard. And then I pretend like I just had the same plans and I did not at all. Like that is the feeling I had at the event. But I was like, I was invited. I was invited this time. I'm not stalking the drummer. The drummer invited me. He invited me. I'm not stalking you. I'm not, this is not me making a move. You made the move first. You know, like all of a sudden I was like, what is this? I actually do have an in-person story that happened to me yesterday.
Oh, shit.
I'm on a little bit of a roll. My in-person energy thing. I know. And I'm down the shore when I'm here in New York. And it was like rainy days for whatever days. And I was like, I just want to like get out of the house. And I didn't feel like cooking. So I was like, I'm just going to go get a burger at this great burger spot. And it has this big like rectangle bar where it's all four sides. You can just find a seat, pull up, sit down. So I've gone before and like, most locals go, and a lot of times it's honestly like an older crowd, so it's just like really friendly, usually couples or whatever, hanging out. So like the last time I went there, I ended up getting a bite of a guy's brownie sundae. That was pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
People are just friendly as hell. I'm like, well, all right, I'll come back here. So I go, and I'm sitting there, and a guy that seems about my age sits kind of near me at the corner, and I hear him order a water, but he had an accent that sounded like water. Like, I think that's like South Philly. And I heard it.
Oh, yeah, like water?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like Philly. And I thought about saying that, and I actually didn't because I was like no makeup, hair a mess, like old sweatshirt chilling. And I got in my head where I was like, I don't know. I'll just sit here.
Yeah.
So then I was sitting there. I was like eating my food, hanging out. And I don't know. He said something like, oh, I need a menu. And I had one. So I was just like, oh, here. And then when he was ordering, he was like, I got my burger. And he's like, how's your burger? Is it good? And then the burger grill is right in the, right? But the burger grill is right in the middle of the bar. So you see it. And this just ties into like my food anxiety and whatever systems I have. Food OCD, let's call it. So I kept catching all the workers like watching the TVs because of all the games that were on.
Yeah.
And I actually started being like, okay, my burger's been sitting there a long time and I ordered it medium rare and I feel like it's not going to be medium rare. But also in my head, I was like, I would never say that though. I just will eat the burger. That's my personality. Just be like, I'm not going to wait for another burger. I'm hungry. It's fine. I'll live. So when he's like, how's your burger? I just vent that. I go, to be honest with you, I was watching it on the grill a really long time. I feel like it might not be medium rare. And now I'm nervous to cut into it. And then he goes, I saw that burger sitting there for a while.
So he also had anxiety about your burger.
Well, he was more like, I kept seeing the burger being like, damn, that burger looks good. And then I thought the same thing where I was like, it's been there a while though. And I was like, right, right. So he was like, cut it open, see what it is. I was like, oh, okay. And I cut it in half and it was perfectly medium rare. So I go, all right, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. All right.
My bad. Didn't mean to step on your expertise.
Yeah. But then we just were talking and he turns out he's like born and raised here from here. And so I said, I'm like, last time I was here, I didn't get a burger. I saw the burgers. So the next time I wanted a burger, I was like, I'll come here. And he was like, this is one of the best spots for burgers, but there's another better spot. And I'm like, where? And we just start talking. Restaurants, yeah. All this stuff, whatever. Then eventually he moves next to me.
Oh.
We're just like chatting. And he just goes, oh, he goes, I hate the corner seat. He's in the seat next to me opened. He's like, do you mind if I sit next to you? I was like, no, not at all. Because we're talking about whatever. So I'm like,
amazing.
Okay. And then he's like, what do you do? I was like, I'm actually a comedian, like blah, blah, blah. He's like, no way. He's like, who's your favorite comics? I love comedy, like blah, blah, blah. So we're just like vibing. But even the whole time I was like, I don't know if this is like a flirty vibe, yeah, or just a friendly person.
That is the tricky thing about in person. Like on a dating app, it's like very clear why we're there. In person is so much murkier.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, it's not that I'm not a confident person, but like when you basically left the house being like, I look like shit, I don't care. And then this happens, you're sitting there like, okay, it makes me like in my head where I'm like, it's not that I look bad without makeup. I don't think that, but you're just like, why didn't you just put on a little under eye concealer, Erica? Just a little bit, you know, to brighten your face a little, you know, like you suddenly get in your head where you're like,
yeah,
are they attracted to me or are they not? Right. And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't be, whatever. Just, I was in my own head a little where I was like,
yeah,
I can't tell the vibe. And also he just seemed very friendly. So I was like, he might just be a friendly guy. Like he knew a couple of the other people that were there. So I'm like, you've lived here. I don't know.
Right.
And then of course I was saying, I'm now living down here. I used to live in the city, blah, 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 blah. And then though, he makes the move to get my number.
Oh.
He was like, oh, I'd love to like come to a show or like what, like hang out sometime or whatever. So he's like, do you mind if I get your number? I was like, no, not at all. I'll give him my number. He texts me. I'm like, okay, I got my number. He moved next to me. Like the whole time you're playing a points game in your head, like column for dating, these moves. Column for just friendship, these moves, you know? Like where you're like.
Was there anything in the column for just friendship though? Doesn't sound like it so far.
There was one thing, but now I'm forgetting. Okay, I brought up golfing because I'm getting into golf.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him, like, do you golf? And he said, not really. I'm supposed to be getting into it. And I was like, what do you mean? Okay. And he's like, it's a good networking thing. And also we have, like, some great courses and whatever down here. Yeah. So I said, oh, do you know any good places to, like, take a lesson? I'm also getting into it. I'm a new golfer. I want to just, like, take some lessons. And he was like, me too. He's like, I've heard this driving range. It's, like, really good. And you could pay someone just for an hour to, like, drive balls with you and work on your swing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that sounds great, blah, blah. And that, like, but then again, I'm like, is that a friend vibe? I was like, well, if you'd want to like take a lesson with me, like I'm down. I said, I don't really know that many people down here that are like my age. Like I have family down here, but not really like friends that live down here. And then he was like, wait, you do comedy? Do you know? And he said the name of a comic that's family is down there. And I do know her. I was like, oh my God. You know, like, I was like, oh no, I do know her. I had no idea she came down here. He's like, yeah, blah, blah. But like, it was like, yeah, we should golf sometime. It's like, yeah, we should golf sometime. But there was like parts of the conversation that were stuff like especially with the comedy, he was like, that's so cool. You do that. Like, keep doing it. Like, best to you. Like, all this stuff. And then he picked up, they put your little like bill in like a glass in front of you as you add things on. So he grabbed my tab. He was like, this is on me. He's like, thanks for the entertainment. Like I had, not in a negative way. He was like, thanks for the entertainment. Yeah. I had so much fun talking to you, like having a good time.
That's so nice.
I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. He's like, no, no. He's like, it's on me. So I'm like, oh, well, thank you. And that I think was the biggest thing. I was like, I can't tell if this is friendly or a move.
I don't feel like a lot of men do that in a friendly capacity.
Right. At least, especially a guy around your age. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, it would be different if he were older. That is a move I think that older men do.
Yeah, because that was the guy that gave me a bite of the brownie sundae was an older gentleman. We were just having a fun time. He was, you know, sneaking a brownie sundae away from his wife, and he was ordering it, wanting it half the size because they're big. And I was like, "How big are they?" And he's like, "You want a bite?" I was like, "Yeah." So took one. Like, you know, but that totally wasn't a flirty vibe. And also that man didn't pay my tab, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I that does not sound like a friendly thing to me.
Yeah, I think it's more, right? I think I just was in my head because I was like not even in regular street clothes. I was just like, oh, I rolled in from like a day of baking and chilling on the couch.
As they say.
As they say. Yeah, hey. But yeah, when he left, he gave me like a brief hug, like, great to meet you, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, let's do golf. And he was like, let's golf.
Have you been talking?
He left. We have not texted since.
Okay.
And I did actually, at one point in the conversation, I said something like, oh, do you go back to work tomorrow because it's a Jewish holiday? And he was like, yeah, I have work. Like, I'll be in the office like 8 a.m. We're not off. Because and then I said something like, oh, usually Mondays are a night off for me from comedy. So I like, was kind of trying to be like, oh, during the week, I'm usually free / I'm down here all week. and also, I made the plan golfing thinking the rain would stop and it hasn't stopped. So I can't follow up on golfing. Like, so it's still pouring. Want to golf?
Want to golf?
Want to golf? And we'll really become good players. We could play in this, you know, or something. You know, something stupid. I don't know. Anyway, but I was like, oh, all right. And also, honestly, obviously, I think the man is cute. But also, I was like, if it ends up just being a friendship thing, I'm not mad at that either. I really don't know many people down here, and he knows a lot of people. So I'm like, well, hey, maybe I'll have some people to hang out with when I'm down here, especially in the summer. A lot of people that have like summer homes here, you know, obviously aren't around. But he lives here year round. So I'm like, oh, all right. If I did just make a new friend, not a bad friend to have, you know?
Well, I love that regardless. I feel like you could text him and say something joking about golf. Be like, oh, it looks like golf's not in the cards for us for a while. But like, how about, and like, suggest something else. You could even get burgers at that other place he talked about.
True. I could. I think I'm just a little like, let me give it a minute.
Yeah. Vibe. Yeah, that's also fair.
You know, I'm like, you met him yesterday. Don't panic.
Everybody be calm.
Everybody be calm. Yeah, so I haven't had a nickname in my head yet, but I'll come up with something eventually. But it was very nice. It was one of those I was like, man, I'm happy I just came out, you know?
Yeah.
I almost did like takeout and I was like, I'll just go sit at the bar. Why not? Hang out.
I love that.
Watch football that I'm not even a fan of. Just hang. So, hey, there you go. Go watch football at a bar. That's my tip for everybody listening.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I was actually going to mention that I'm excited for football season. One, I mean, I like football, so like I just enjoy watching it. But also, it is a very easy place to find bars that have a high concentration of men.
Sunday and it's also more of a day hang too, which can be nice.
Yeah. I already have my two October things are already set. So
that's great.
Everything else is gravy.
I have not hit anything from my quota. I'm very sorry. I'm trying.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Does the drummer one count?
You're just doing my challenge too. It's fine.
I'm like, does the drummer count? I had a fun night, even though that was a disaster with him. I had a fun night with my friend. I'm like, can that count?
But he's not from a dating app.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it had to be dating. Well, I'm not going to deny the people in real life, Allie. All right? I'm
on a swing. And nor should you.
I'm on a swing. I'm gonna continue roping these guys in. I'm gonna go to that bar every Sunday. Find a new local.
So I have my two October things. I've got like a speed dating thing, and then there's like another mixer that a friend invited me to. And I have a first, but actual dates. I actually have a first date this week from Bumble.
Oh, nice.
So looking forward to that. And he was very much like he basically. So we first matched Labor Day, maybe like a while ago. Wow.
Yeah.
And he actually, I had messaged him and he wrote back and he was like, he said something. We went back and forth a couple times and he was like, I'm actually headed out of town for, I think it was 2 weeks or something like that. And he's like, but I would love to like follow up with you when I get back, like if that's okay, etc. And I was like, yeah, of course, like have a great trip, whatever. Forgot about it. Also was kind of not expecting him to actually follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, a couple days ago, I got a message being like, hey, I'm back in town. You know, I would still love to go out. And then he just immediately said, like, are you free? And he gave me two night options.
I love it. There we go.
Same. So I was free on one of the options. So I picked one of them. And then he was like, he's like, okay, I'll let you know a time and place. But also he, so one of the conversations that we had is he's fairly new to Brooklyn from Manhattan. He's lived in the city for a while, but he's like a Brooklyn newbie. And so he said, he's like, I'll let you know the time and place unless you have a favorite spot. And I'm like, happy to check that out too. So, and I said, no, I trust your decision making. So yeah, he's just going to handle it all, which I love.
I love that. Love the energy.
The follow-up. I really do love the energy.
It's a reminder, because these bubble men can be real lazy, real easily. Because my current peeve with Bumble is asking a question that gets ignored entirely in my opener. Mm. Like one guy had, I'm a coffee addict, caps. So I said, hey, whatever. What's your favorite spot to grab a coffee in New York? Easy fucking question. He replies, I drink my coffee black. And I just, yeah, you like look over your shoulder like, I don't, is that?
Did someone else ask that question?
Yeah. And then I just go, yes, but where? Where do you like to drink that black coffee? And then you feel like a loser being like, do I even clarify this question? Like, and there was another one. I was just sending everyone like, hey, you know, how are you spending this rainy day? Perfect for like a rainy day weekend. And this guy just came back like, I actually do really well in the rain. Oh. How are you? I was like, what? He was like, I actually enjoy the rain vibes.
What do you, give me the examples. What are you up to?
I was just like, oh, okay. All right. And I'm not saying I'm asking like amazing questions and I'm the banter queen or anything, but you just sit there like it's, you read it. It's right there. It's
the question's right there. Just answer that. It's right. You know? It's right. Oh my God.
Because we've all been there in person where you're like, hey, good, you? And they're like, I didn't ask you anything yet. You're like, my brain was just on autopilot. I don't know.
But I was like, okay. So yeah, so far, good vibes from this guy. And then the stout and I are discussing a second date, but it's likely going to be like 3 weeks after our first date at this point.
So you did, I assume, initiate asking for the second date.
So I actually didn't, because he texted me while we were recording last week about the second date. Like while you and I were having the conversation about the fact that I should probably do it, he did it.
Right in the middle of it. He's like, yeah, there it is. Okay.
So he did, but in that same text, he like hasn't been feeling well. And then he's going on a trip, which we had talked about on our first date. And now he's on that trip.
Oh, all right. So just unfortunate timing.
Yeah. But we're already like, we have a date in place for when he gets back. It's just in the future. It'll be like over 3 weeks after our first date.
Well, maybe you'll have more luck on the momentum. Second time around.
Maybe.
I'm great at science. You know me.
I am still planning on planning the date. So he reached out and basically like confirmed that I still wanted to go out again, let me know that, you know, that he wasn't feeling well and also that he was going on this trip, and then was asking like when I'm free the week that he's back, and we've decided on the date, but I am going to offer to pick a spot because I did say specifically that I was going to do that.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah. So then I'll have first date. I don't have a nickname for that guy yet. And the second date with the stout. And that's where I'm at.
I love it. Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us. Good combo of in real life and apps. The app part being mainly pulled by Allie. But you know what? I'm trying.
Which is like the opposite.
The men I'm talking to can't read.
On this like IRL challenge and you're on this app challenge and we are having the opposite success, which is fine. At least we're having
success. Well, you know what? That is the one thing that I used to say I did like about apps is it would make me open my eyes more in public because it would just make dating a little bit more on my mind.
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
Make me scan the room for a second, you know, where the other times you're just, I don't know, hustling around, too crammed, doing stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, so I get that.
It's having some effect, all right? I might fail the challenge, but hey, I might have a date.
So. You know, the point of the challenge is just to like, yeah, it definitely counts. I like it.
Does it?
Because the point of the challenge is just to like get you out there dating, you know, and like saying
a good date was my challenge. It was a good date.
Well, we're still working on it, but we'll get there.
So far, I'm at negative two with being ignored at a show. And so I think I should get 1 point if I meet Golf Man or whatever we want to call him.
100%. Absolutely.
Counts as something. All right.
The golfer.
Anyway.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah. And they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. And you can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am very excited for this meat of this episode, though. I think it's a little fun change up from what we usually do.
I am excited too. And because one of the things that we've talked about is that our listeners really love our Ask a Man episodes, and we don't have that many men, relatively speaking, in our audience. So it's a little bit difficult for us to poll our audience if the women who date men are looking for advice from those men. We don't have many of them in the listenership.
Not as many. No. So somebody sent you, I believe, right? This Reddit thread. So the question was posed to the Ask Men Reddit, and it says, what is something you wish more women understood about men? And I believe they specified dating when they posted it. But when we posted it, we said, let's just do a general and see what we get. You know, we know our male numbers aren't as high, so let's see what we get.
Everything that I got was dating related. I assume because like they just know that I'm asking for the pod. And I also texted, and you did too, a few guy friends who also obviously knew that I was doing it for the pod. And so everything that I got was dating related. But I'm excited about it because I think there's like a lot of things that I know. Like I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But it's like good to like get a reminder of what, you know, the people that we're dating are thinking in reverse.
Yeah. So I specifically, for the male friends I've reached out to, I reached out to like my relationship guy friends who are also in like longer term relationships. Cause I thought, okay, maybe we'll get something different. Cause a lot of things from the Reddit thread were very like about early on in dating, which is helpful.
Yeah.
But then I was like, all right, guys that have been in relationships for a few years, what's like the first thing that comes to their mind when it comes to this? Cause it won't be about like the early stages.
Yeah.
So
this is something that I really liked that a friend of mine said. He said, if we invite you to something that's considered quote unquote guy stuff, like watching football, it's a great sign because we trust you in our environment. And he like went on and elaborated to say that he has had experiences with women in the past where they're like, ugh, like he invited me, like, I don't want to go watch football, or I don't want to, whatever the thing is. Oh. And it'd be one thing if that was all he was ever doing, was inviting them to go do that. But he was just like, oh, no, that's a good sign. Like, it means if my friends are going to be there, like, we're going to hang out with my friends. But even if they're not, it's like, I want you to experience this thing that I really like with me.
Hmm.
And he wishes that more women would see it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is something too. Early dating, we're excited to get this invite. While you're dating someone a long time, you might have the like, ugh, I don't want to go vibe. But he's basically saying like, it's a compliment that I'm inviting you.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's sweet. I think I got a handful of submissions that were somewhat along these lines. So this is from a relationship guy. He's been with his girl like 10 years. So he said, off the top of my head, guys wanting space isn't a reflection of how much we value you. It's just that we need space from time to time to be dumb without judgment. And he elaborated more. He said, of course, it's nice to spend day after day together. But when my wife has a trip out of town for a few days, I miss her. Absolutely. But the break is also nice. And I think it's normal for everyone to want some good old quality me time. And some people could take that as an insult, like we don't want to spend time with you, when really we do. We just also want to spend time alone. It helps us recharge. So I feel like there are a few points he made. One is like, sounds like guy time, right? So let's say he's the guy that always does football with his friends and doesn't invite you. Yeah. It's like, it's not that I don't like you and I don't enjoy your company, but I kind of want to just go be, as he says, dumb with his friends without judgment. Which to
I
be
also
want to
go
dumb
be dumb
means.
With my friends without judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, I so get what they're saying. It's like, you know, it almost like goes back to that middle school sleepover vibe where it's like, look, sometimes you're just being a little silly with your friends. And it's in a way that like you feel like the way we do it with our female friends is different from the way they do it with their male friends, you know?
Yes.
But I think this is a big one, early dating and long term, that it's like you just need a little space. And I think who am I to say gendered? But because of all the male responses, a lot of men were saying like, sometimes we just need space to process our own emotions and give us time. Like they would rather process it by themselves than talk about it out loud was another response I got. So I'm like, oh, right.
I got a couple of responses like that too. And I think that obviously in this episode, all of these things that we're getting are individual opinions. And I actually had guys, I would like send them a couple of examples, my friends, to like give them, and they like disagreed with a couple of the examples I sent. So like, obviously, you know, it's not general with everybody. But I do think that generally women process things more in a group than men do. Like men are far less likely, in my experience, to process things that they're going through, like with their friends out loud or in a group text or like whatever it is. And women do that all the time. Like I'm constantly processing things out loud with my friends in a way that most of my guy friends are not.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a group text. I feel like I'm now more of an individual one-on-one.
Sure. Yeah, but out loud.
But like the thing that happened the night I went out, immediately I texted two friends to be like, this just happened. I don't know what the fuck happened, and my brain can't even process it. Like, let's tag team it.
And I have heard from guy friends that like, I'm sure there are some guys that are like that, but I have heard consistently from guy friends that like, a lot of times when they're dating women, those women have had a hard time understanding, like, I need to process this for a second.
Or sometimes it's that they don't want to process it with you. So even if it is with somebody else, it's like, I think there's more of this trying to be like someone's everything and quote, like their best friend. Mm-hmm. But that means different things to different people where it's like, yeah, I just need a minute. I need a minute alone.
Okay, so another friend of mine said, when at first he said this, I was like, I need more explanation immediately. So the first thing he said was, I'm not always going to remember everything you say. And then I was like, what do you mean by that?
I respect that. I think I'm one of those people. I don't remember every detail. I'm bad at it.
Yeah. So, but then that's basically what he said. He said, try not to be offended by that. But if you see the guy asking for clarification about detail when it comes to something you said, he heard you and was interested in what you said. So like he has had the experience of asking a question that evidently he already knew already was told the answer to, like, or like a detail about something that somebody had said. And because he didn't remember that detail, the assumption was, oh, he doesn't care. When like he just like doesn't I know this about him to be true. He's just like he's more of a big picture guy.
Yeah. I get that. I would that would bother me if I asked a question and they're like, I just told you in the story. It's like, okay, well I missed that part. All right.
I missed that part. Yeah.
I'm showing interest, you know. Did you want me to say you weren't a good storyteller? What do you want me to do? You know, like,
well, you weren't very clear.
Some people zig and zag and they can't land the plane and it loses me. And I'm like, I'm lost, you know?
I think if it's like consistently happening where like they're constantly not listening to anything you say and like don't remember a thing, like that's different. But like I also have noticed another generalization, but I also have noticed that my women friends are much better at regurgitating details of something that happened. Like, for example, the story about you and the drummer. Mm-hmm. Lots of detail about what happened, what was said. Like, I went up to him. He was kind of facing sideways. I was like, lots of details. I have experienced generally, my guy friends do not tell stories in that level of detail.
No, they don't. Isn't it? Didn't Rourke say she has somebody that makes their husband ask two questions anytime someone says a story?
No, oh, I love because, that though.
Because they were like, the wife just kept getting so mad. Like, he'd come home and be like, yeah, this happened. And she'd be like, how? When? Where? And he had no more details. She's like, just anytime someone tells you something, ask two follow-up questions for me.
That's two
for
questions.
Me. For me. I want to know.
I love
I'm
that.
Like, I like that rule a lot.
It's happened with like conversations. Like, I will be able to like parrot back a conversation to be like, oh, and then he said this, and then I said this, and then he said this. Mm-hmm. And I've remember distinctly the first time that I liked a guy in my when I was getting basically like set up with somebody from a guy friend that he had like absolutely no way, he like had no idea what was said in their conversation. He was like, yeah, he's into it. I'm like, but what did he say? He's like, I don't remember.
He said yes. I don't. I remember.
He said
the
yes.
Most
that
important
was it.
Detail.
That's the bottom line. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Whereas, like, a female friend would have like given me a transcript of everything that had transpired.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Here's one. Here's a in the bedroom one. In the bedroom, we like the same stuff you guys do as far as being warmed up, especially if you're an adult. sorry. I just love the phrase. No, I think he means like grown men. Like, we're not like horny little teenage boys anymore, where it's like, because the next line is, we're not just going to be turned on just because you're naked.
Yeah, 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 fair.
And he said, it's not that we're not turned on because you're naked. We are. He said, it's like so a lot of times he finds women want to like get to it sometimes, like really, really quick and think like men don't need foreplay and they don't need warming up. And then it also infringes on this like pressure men feel to not look weak, that they also feel like they can't say that of like, hey, can we slow it down a little bit? Like, I need to get in the mood, essentially. So the short story of this is men also need to get in the mood a little bit. I have been the girl being like, just throw me through the wall. What are we doing? You know, like,
what like, are we doing?
Like, you know, like where you are just kind of being a horny monster. I've been that person before, you know? And I wouldn't mind if a man said, hey, I actually want to take it a little slow. I'd be like, okay, sorry. I was a little crazy there for
me. Yeah. No, I get it. I got this a few times, both in my story responses and also from people that I texted. They said, we take things literally.
Yeah, that they don't take hints well. Hints are missed.
Yeah, or they don't mean the same thing to them because they've interpreted it either literally or however they did. Like, generally speaking, just like don't assume that somebody is going to interpret something the same way that you did. I think that's a good rule of thumb, to be honest, in general. But that was a consistent theme from the men.
Yeah, that was also one of the ones on the Reddit thread. There was actually several along these lines, but one just wrote, men rely on clear, blunt communication. Hints and subtlety are just setting them up for failure. Fair. Fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, because I think, because also like the, like I was saying about the interpretation, if something is so open for interpretation, then you're just asking for someone to interpret it differently than you. And then potentially being upset that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one somebody said that is along these lines that is kind of the opposite, where you're not interested. It says, please have your actions match your words. Don't tell me you are interested and yet your actions are implying something else completely different. So basically, like, you tell a guy I'm not interested, I don't want to date you. And then if you're like drunk texting him, drunk calling him, like, it's like, what is this? You know, or it's a move where you're like, I like the attention from you, but I don't want to date you. And it's like, that's rude for anybody to do to anybody. I don't care who you date.
Yes.
It's like, okay, if you say you're not interested, leave them alone. Knock it off. I'm curious how you feel about this one. 90% of the makeup women wear is unnecessary. Less is more. If I can tell what you have on from across the room, it's too much. A little bit harsh, but what do you think?
My gut reaction is I don't like it. Yeah. Because first of all, a couple things. First of all, I just like really have an extremely bad reaction to like men telling women like how to dress or what to wear or like anything like that. Obviously, everybody is entitled to find whatever they find attractive. Mm-hmm. So like it's okay if this guy prefers a more natural look. Like that's totally fine. I disagree though that he actually would think that 90% of the makeup that women wear is unnecessary. I wish that that were true, but it's not. And like,
yeah, it's the guy that says, I like women that wear no makeup. And you're like, I am wearing makeup, you dumbass. Like, I'm just doing it in a way that it looks like I'm not. Like, that's the trick. That's the trick we're doing.
Such a good example of this on my date with the stout. So I said something about, we were talking about like how, oh, I was talking about how early I had to be in the office the next morning. And I had like an 8 a.m. meeting. So I had to be like butt in seat, computer open on video at 8 a.m. in the office. So I was talking about how early I had to get up, or, you know, he was like, oh, you know, how far away, like how long it take you to get there, whatever. We're talking about it. And when I said the time I had to get up, he was shocked. Because he was like, oh, but you said it only takes you like 40 minutes to get to work. I'm like, yeah, but that's once I leave my apartment. Like I have to shower, I'm going to wash my hair, I'm going to blow dry my hair, I'm going to do my makeup, whatever. And he said, I think he said, oh, but you're like, you're naturally beautiful. And I said, thank you. I appreciate that. I am wearing makeup right now, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that I don't think, like you said earlier, not that I don't think I look good without makeup, because I do, and I go without makeup all the time. But like, he thought I wasn't wearing any.
Exactly. That's the point with this person saying this. It's like, you know, from our perspective, we go, you mean a woman that wears a lot of makeup. Most of us are wearing makeup, but maybe not a lot. But at the same time, I think of makeup girlies I know. A lot of them are in relationships. So this really is not a deterrent. If you're a makeup girlie, you're a makeup girlie, is what it is. You know?
100%.
But yeah, the idea where it's like, oh, don't be, like, you ever had a, I mean, I've never had a guy say this to me, but I've heard a friend have a guy be like, oh, don't be like putting on foundation. And it's like, you don't even know what foundation is. Okay, honey, let's not even get started. You don't know. You have no fucking idea. Like, drop it. You have no clue. No clue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, long story short, I don't like that. I don't like that particular submission.
I didn't think you would. That was a wrench in the submissions a little bit.
Yeah, no thank you, unsubscribe.
Yeah, I knew a comic that had a joke that was like, men that say they like women that don't wear makeup, he's like, they're just being like, hey, listen, all I'm asking for is genetic perfection. Which it's like, bro, what? And that was a joke from a man, so some men are aware. Oh, where they're like, that's a ridiculous statement to say.
Ridiculous statement. Because I also like, I really do wish that it were societally acceptable for women to have bare faces. Like, I got feedback once, not at this job, at a former job, I got feedback that I needed to wear makeup at work because I looked tired. Feedback from a manager.
This is not the first I've heard of this. It's never happened to me, but yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Obviously, I did not stay in that job very much longer after that. This was a long, long time ago also. But like, that is just an example of how like, I do not feel that I look professionally ready for the office if I don't have makeup on my face.
Yeah.
And or a that good is comeback a societal is like, thing.
Yeah. Or a good comeback would be, well, then maybe I need more vacation days.
Yeah. Maybe I'm overworked. I am quite tired. You're right.
Maybe you're overworking my ass and you could help me out a little bit. With a different solution. I got another one here about plans.
Okay.
If you're a single guy in a dating city, so let's just say a city because there's more people. Mm-hmm. Dating adds up financially and mentally. And it takes a lot to come up with plans all the time that feel unique. So it's nice to work on a plan together sometimes.
I love that.
I think that was a very honest answer. And I also like, yeah, it's not them being like, you make the plan. It's like, okay, sometimes we need a little help with the plan, which I'm not opposed to.
I really like the phrasing of it's nice to work on a plan together. Of like, it's a brainstorm. We're in this together. Like, we are both going to go on this date and we are both going to need to enjoy this date. So like, why don't we both contribute to planning it?
Yeah, this was submitted by my friend and he recently had a scenario that he gave. I know I already told you this before, but I'm repeating it for the pod. So
it's a great
story. He gave a girl a plan. It was to, she picked the neighborhood to meet in, like mutual neighborhood for both of them. It was a nice day. He was like, let's go get pizza at this great pizza spot and then walk and get some ice cream and like walk through the park, like have just enjoy the beautiful day. And she replied to him that she was disappointed and she thought that she was expecting something more thoughtful was the wording she used. So he sends it to me and I'm like, I don't think she means thoughtful. I think she either means expensive. More expensive, right? Or she just isn't in the mood for pizza. And instead of saying that, says this thoughtful bullshit. Because I was like, bro,
yeah,
you planned
a
thoughtful
way to say I'm not in the... Yeah.
Right. So he's like, okay. And I actually was like, I wouldn't go out with her. Like, I was like, that's pretty... I wouldn't okay. Either. I was like, that's a very nice date plan. I would very much appreciate that plan. So he just changed like the first part to a different spot that still was a cheap place that had like fried chicken sandwiches. And she was like, great.
Yeah.
And so then he was like, so what is this thoughtful bullshit? And I said, I don't know. If she's an adult, she should just say, oh, that sounds like a great plan. To be honest, I'm just not in the mood for pizza. Can we do something else for the food portion? Like, communicate. I don't. But this thoughtful thing blew my mind. I was like, this is very much a thoughtful plan.
I'm pretty sure she meant expensive.
That's what my impression was. I was like, I think she wanted you to spend more money, which he was like, yes. Joke's on her. I'm taking to her $5 chicken sandwich place.
The new plan is cheaper, actually.
The new plan is just as cheap. And she don't know.
Yeah. And I also think, I strongly believe that if you shoot down somebody's date suggestion, you should be required to provide an alternative.
Yes. 100%. I agree. That's why, like, when this happens to me, I sit there and go, do I accept the date or I don't accept the date? And a lot of times I'll just accept the date because I don't want to make the plan. I'll go, all right, I'll just go.
That's fine.
It's fine. I'm not lactose intolerant. I'll go eat pizza. We'll live, you know?
Yeah. I have shot down a date idea before and provided an alternative. It has mostly been in times when I knew it was not going to be a good experience to go to that place. So like, for example, a guy suggested that we go to a bar that I just knew was going to be a madhouse at the time we were going, because I've been there before. Right. And so I was like, hey, actually, I love that place. I've been there on a Thursday before, though, and it gets like totally packed. How about this other place nearby? And like,
yeah, easy.
Suggested the alternative, but only like I've really been very like specific about when I shoot it down. Like, it has to be like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, that place is closed on that day. That's happened to me.
I've been there where you're like, I'm really not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but it is closed. So
it's closed on Tuesdays, actually, so we can't do that.
Yeah, like, whoops. So here's the one that was about the Brené Brown thing I have.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a guy friend of mine in a long relationship. He said, the pressure we feel to be masculine. Even though I'm comfortable with my masculinity and I know my partner loves me for who I am, there's times that I feel that pressure and embarrassment and I can't explain it to them. So I followed up saying, like, pressure to be more masculine or to take the masculine role when you would rather that they take it. And he said it was the first one, just the pressure to be more masculine. And then he referenced the talk of Brené Brown and said, I saw this thing on Netflix where the top insecurity for women was body image and the top insecurity for men was appearing weak. And that's what I mean. That he'll feel different pressures, like just through life, walking through life, that he like maybe feels he can't exactly say what he wants or do what he wants because it might make him look weak. Or he has to step up in certain ways that he's like, why do I have to be the one that steps up? Which I sympathize with.
I definitely do. Because in the same way that it sucks that we are socializing little girls that they need to wear makeup and that, you know, how they look is most important and, you mm-hmm. know, all the things that – just go watch the Barbie movie. In the same way that that sucks, similarly, it sucks that we're socializing little boys that they can't show emotion and, like, need to be tough all the time and, you know, all the things of that. And I think that those two things are also creating two groups of people that don't understand each other very well.
Yeah, very much so. Very much.
In the Reddit thread, I was noticing a consistent theme of men talking about how a lot of women are wanting them to just chase them and chase them and chase them.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, not only is that not sustainable, but that it also, like, feels really shitty. And so, like, one of the guys said, I've never met a single man in my entire life who would lose interest or feel emasculated if a woman showed interest in him. In fact, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, he actually says if you reject him, he might feel emasculated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Makes sense.
Which, yeah, and I get it.
Yeah. So then somebody else said, I will never understand why women think this will have a good outcome. If the guy keeps chasing you, he's either desperate, pushy, or needy. Respectful guys will respect your apparent disinterest and leave you alone.
And then another guy piggybacked off that and said, the only men who will go after a girl who's playing hard to get are men who don't take no for an answer. And you do not want to date those men. They're assholes.
Nope. You do not want to date those men. And like that's how anytime I've heard of like, oh, let him chase you. I'm like, okay, in the word chase implies that somebody is running away. And why, first of all, why would you want to just constantly run away from someone you want to date?
Mm-hmm.
But also, why would you want to date someone who's like, oh, that thing that's running away from me, I'm going to go after that.
Yeah, I think this is where the line comes in where it's like, there's chasing and there's just basic pursuing and showing interest. Because in a different section of the thread, there were tons of people being like, hey, it's a different time. When you essentially say, no, I'm not interested, we back off now. We're not coming back. Like, we're not going to keep asking. Like, we originally were taught to pursue, pursue, pursue. And then it was like, hey, actually, just like pursue. And then when she says no, respect the no and back off.
Right, which is what we want. Like, we want people who, you know, respect boundaries.
But I think what's hard is sometimes you want a little of both. You don't want necessarily the chasing, but it's like you want to see the interest. You want to see a little pursuing, a little they reach out, they initiate, right? And I think that's what we confuse for chasing sometimes that I don't agree. I think there's a differentiation between chasing and just like, hey, showing some interest. Because like, but both cases, we've made this point before on chasing, right? Where it's like, I also wouldn't advise a woman to be chase. I'm like,
no, just show
a little interest. If you feel like it's not reciprocated, like, let it breathe, you know, give them a second. Don't keep following up, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, because I think that in the attempt to like, let quote unquote, let men pursue, let men chase, whatever, and like do the initiating, show the interest, etc. I think a lot of women that I've seen like on social media, and I think that these guys are talking about in this thread, are like, they're not receiving the interest well. Like, they're not receiving the interest in a positive way. They're like continuing to feign disinterest, even if they are in fact interested in this dude. And like, yeah, you can be somebody who wants the guy to initiate things, but when he does, be interested if you are interested.
Mm-hmm. There was someone, I can't find the exact wording. It was something like, they asked for a third date and the girl was acting like not available, like so busy, and she really wasn't. So he like stopped asking. And then she followed up like a month later being like, hey, how come you never like asked me on that third date? He's like, I did. And I got the vibe you weren't interested. And then she revealed to him that she was trying to play hard to get. She didn't want to seem too eager. And he was like, I took it as you're not interested. So I stopped asking. Like, I backed off. As I should, you know? And there's, I mean, to really simplify it, one person just wrote, playing hard to get will result in being hard to want.
Yes.
And I don't disagree with that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to keep having to like prove myself to whoever. Because
totally agree.
Another comment someone made that I feel like this is something I have experienced a lot is this exact story here. And it, not even teen years, like this guy says, but he says, the funny thing is in my teen years, I used to consider chasing girls that were playing hard to get as like a game. And then I would lose interest as soon as the game was either lost or won. Mm-hmm. And I only had nice romantic experiences in my life with women that weren't playing games after that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've said before, but like eventually, if you want to be in a relationship, eventually he's going to have to stop chasing you because eventually you're going to have to like be in the relationship. And if you are with someone who was attracted to that chase, they are not going to have they're going to lose interest when the chase is over because you've started to date somebody who only wants that dynamic.
Right. So that's where it plays into you pretending you're not interested or holding your cards like close to your chest, whatever it is. Because that's what I've had. And it wasn't that I was like doing that on purpose. I just like wasn't sure. And then the second I was like, I like you, they just completely like disappeared, backed off. And I was so confused. Like, what?
Yeah.
You were pursuing me. Like, you convinced me to like you. And then the minute I liked you, you were gone. And I think it comes from this core thing where it's like, hey, there are some people that just want the chase. And the only way you're going to find that out, though, is not keeping up the facade of the hard to get. When you finally admit like, okay, yeah, I have feelings too. That's when you get your answer. It's like, you really in this or are you just doing this for the chase game? What is it?
Yeah. And if you wait and wait and wait, then you're just going to be that much more invested once you find out that's the deal.
Exactly. Exactly.
So a couple of guys were commenting on the way that they've experienced women venting to their friends about relationships. And some of the stuff they said initially is like a little harsh, but then when they like get into it, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
It's a little harsh up top, but bear with it.
So the first guy says, this one actually isn't even harsh. He says, if you're just venting about him to your friends and you don't tell the whole story, that's not weird. You just wanted to vent. But when you get reactions and advice, remember how lopsided your story was. And like, even when you correct it, they're dug into the initial reaction. And like,
it's a little harsh where he's like, your story's fucking lopsided, and then I'll have my side of the story. It's like, okay,
but
you are right, but a little extreme. But he's right. Yes. The story is your point of view. It's your point of
view. Like, I'm not usually venting to my friends being like, and then I was kind of an asshole when I said this part. Like, very rarely is the vent session admitting what you did wrong. It's a vent session for that reason. Like, you're venting about what somebody else did.
Yeah. It's like what you do occasionally. You go, I got a little cold because I was mad, whatever. But the next point here, someone else commented, piggybacking, I think clarifies it a little more, although this one is a little harsh. He says, how about keep the venting to a therapist? Friends will be forced to side with you almost every time. How many times will a friend ever tell you, I get that you're venting, but why don't you take any accountability, you fucking loser? Sorry.
Can you imagine if your friend said that to you?
Just, my dear friend, take accountability, you fucking loser.
Fucking loser.
Put it on a shirt, dude.
Take accountability, you fucking loser. Coming to a merch store near you.
they had a second comment, same person. He goes, okay, maybe I went a little extra with that last part. But
he was hitting the keyboard hard.
Something fired him up. He remembers a specific scenario. But he says, but I'm just trying to get my point across. Friends will often be too scared to tell their friends that they messed up. Why would anyone even try? It's so much easier to just talk shit about the person that's being complained about. So this is where I do agree with his therapy thing, where it's like, there obviously is weight and importance in talking to an unbiased party who has, you know, the degree and the skills to ask you those sneaky little questions that maybe are pointing out that you're wrong, but you don't feel like they're saying
to get you to take accountability, you fucking loser.
Yo, honestly though, If a therapist lost their shit and said that to me, I would be like, I'm going to work with you the rest of my life. I need that honesty in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's very true, right? It's like venting to friends is good for a lot of reasons, but like I do think you got to be careful. One, for the reason that he said, or a couple of the reasons that he said, one of those being that obviously some friends have a tendency to get you more riled up than you already were.
Yeah.
So I'm also careful about who I vent to for that reason. Mm-hmm. Like I know friends that are just going to take it to the next level of where I'm already at. Mm-hmm. And we don't need that for the most part ever. The other thing that he said that I think is really important though too, is that it's really difficult to get back somebody's opinion of someone.
Yeah, very hard.
And not that, and I don't say that to mean that you should like lie to your friends about what's going on in your relationship or like only paint rosy pictures. Like that is not what I mean at all. But if they are only hearing negative things that also might be in the moment also clouded by your own emotions on it, like don't be surprised if those friends have negative opinions of that person.
Yeah. And that goes for friendships too. Cause we've been there where you're like, yes, we did this and this and this. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm not also telling you all the great things that come from this friendship either. And same with the relationship. If anything, You're actually less likely to do that because you feel like you're bragging. You know,
he's so wonderful.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine being like, he came home and he like rubbed my feet and then like he cooked me dinner. I'd be like, all right, enough.
I get it. He's great.
Oh my God. Okay. So I did a little AI work here. I took AI and I just copied the whole link to the Reddit thread to be like, I'm curious, what would AI summarize from this whole Reddit thread of all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll say a few that I guess I don't think maybe we touched on. We are not always thinking about sex.
Mm.
Another one. We don't always want to fix your problems. Sometimes we do just want to listen.
Oh.
Which is interesting. I feel like I've heard the opposite my whole life. So it sounds like the thread, everyone was being like, sometimes you're actually looking at us to fix it, and we don't know what the fuck to do either.
We're like, I can't fix it. I don't know.
We're like, why do I have to take accountability? I'm not. No, I'm kidding.
It's not my problem.
This was very interesting. It just said, we like to be hugged and cuddled.
I did notice a consistent theme in not only the Reddit thread, but also in the responses that I got. That was like, we like the emotional intimacy part of a relationship is important to us too. And I think that came to mind when you were talking about the foreplay.
Yep.
Submission. Exactly. That like that emotional bonding and intimacy matters to both people.
Yeah. Cause another bullet it says is men appreciate compliments and physical affection. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of those comments saying like, hey, we don't really get compliments and like, we would like to hear them too. But I think it plays into like the masculinity pressure that a lot of men feel where they're like, I feel like I can't ask like, oh, you don't tell me I look nice, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah, completely.
The biggest one was we are not mind readers. If you want something, tell us.
Be direct.
This actually kind of made me like sad a little bit. It says men want to be loved and feel loved. Aww. Which is so like, oh, shit. And I think, that plays into all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah, and it makes me sad that, like, clearly there are men who don't feel like it's okay to say that. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I don't think they would find it necessary to write it on this post.
Right. And then there was another bullet that I wonder if this is the AI, like, glitching or people just equally wrote about both things. It said that men want to be listened to and understood, not just fixed. So also the opposite, where they're like, hey, sometimes we just need to vent. Like, we vent to you and then you try to change something about what we're saying. And I think that is one of the number one things women feel, where they're like, I just want to vent.
Yeah.
Stop giving me solutions. Yeah. This isn't fixing my mood. Like, got it then.
Yeah.
But yeah, loved so one, I was like, to ask.
Yeah, that's sad. This was fun. And then we ended on that note.
Well, hey, it's so fun. I think it's a little eye opening it's like, know, they're being vulnerable where they're like, hey, you know, sometimes like we want to be cuddled, you know, like actually, I had a guy friend tell me this once. They were like, let us be the little spoon sometimes. OK, sometimes we want to be the little spoon. OK, it's not masculine. All right. Everybody likes to be held a little bit. Let us be the little spoon. All right. You don't get to be the little spoon every fucking time. Let us be the little spoon. And I agree because I like being the little spoon.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
It's great.
So it makes sense.
Great.
I get it. I get
it's
it.
It's great. It's like, hey, now that I'm your boyfriend, I get to be little spoon. All right. Boyfriend perks, little spoon.
Well, if you took one thing from this episode, let him be the little spoon.
Let him be the little spoon. Come on. Everybody wants it. I feel like I sound like Jerry Seinfeld. Anyway, this was interesting. I enjoyed this little experiment.
It was. I did too. I did too.
So thank you forever submitted this to the show. And any other things you want to submit, you can submit through the website, findingmrheight.com/podcast. And we have the story time submissions. If you have a story that you think you want to share on the show or ideas for episodes, guests, we'd love to hear it. So feel free to submit.
Let us know and see you next week.
Bye.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.